January the 25th is the day the church celebrates the feast of the conversion of the Apostle St. Paul, and the date also traditionally marks the conclusion of the week of prayer for Christian unity. Later on Wednesday, Pope Benedict was scheduled to preside over Vespers at Rome's Basilica of St. Paul outside the wall to mark these two events. Born Saul of Tarsus, St. Paul became one of the Church's foremost evangelizers after his dramatic conversion to Christianity on the road to Damascus. A special Pauline year declared by Pope Benedict was held from June 2008 to June 2009 to mark the approximate 2000th anniversary of the Apostle's birth. St. Paul's letters are a primary source of information about the life of the early Christian Church, and his influence on Christian thinking, arguably, has been more significant than any other New Testament author. Dominican Father Jerome Murphy O'Connor is one of the world's most renowned scholars on St. Paul and the author of several books on the Apostle's life and teachings. He's based at the École Biblique in Jerusalem. Father Murphy O'Connor told me why St. Paul is such an important figure when it comes to the issue of Christian unity.
Paul analyzed very carefully the world in which he had to live because he had to change it. And what Paul saw around him were, above all, divisions, complete barriers of separation, socio-economic and religious. And his solution was to create community, to break down those barriers so that men and women, slaves and masters, Jews and Gentiles, could all live together in the unity of the body of Christ.
A leading evangelizer who traveled far and wide to spread the word of the gospel, why was St. Paul so successful in this field? Father Murphy O'Connor again.
I think Paul's success was in great part due to his rhetorical training. He refused to play all the tricks that orators use, but to the Galatians he said, "I made you see Jesus Christ being crucified." In other words, his skill was so great, he could transform hearers into spectators. And I think his success is due to his ability to bring Jesus Christ alive. He says, "I can give you only one law, and that law is Christ." Here's the unwritten law, the living law, of a person who embodies the ideal.
But what later great figures in the church were influenced by St. Paul's example and his teaching? Let's hear more from Father Murphy O'Connor.
The tragedy of Paul is that we have his letters, and they were very influential. But once his personality disappeared, then the idealism of his community faded. Like, the Pauline communities are extremely idealistic, whereas Matthew's community, for example, is a management community. There's a little bit for everyone, and no cohesive vision. And Paul was simply, I think, a little too strong. Remember, Paul is criticized in one of the letters of St. Peter.
So, given these criticisms, what kind of a personality did St. Paul have? Was he a rather difficult person to get along with?
I think Paul was uncompromising. He also was extremely thin-skinned and tended to identify what he would consider insults to himself as insults to the gospel. He really identified so completely with his mission that he would have been extremely difficult to live with.
What we know about St. Paul comes from the Acts of the Apostles and his letters in the New Testament, yet there are inconsistencies and even contradictions between what he says in one and in the other. And, of course, there is the fact that his authorship of several of these epistles is in doubt. Do you agree with that?
I don't fully agree with the consensus. Like, the vast majority of scholars would say that 2 Thessalonians and Colossians and Ephesians were not written by Paul. Well, I think the first two were. I don't think Ephesians was written by Paul. In its present shape, it contains an older and lost letter, the letter to the Laodiceans. And there are serious disagreements between the Acts of the Apostles and the Pauline letters. For example, in the Acts of the Apostles, Paul is forced to leave Damascus because he is threatened by Jews, whereas for Paul himself, he has to leave Damascus because he is threatened by the Nabataeans, which is historically correct. So when studying Paul or building up an image of the life of Paul, one must give absolute priority to the letters and treat Acts of the Apostles positively but critically.
Talking of criticism, St. Paul has been accused by some of being a misogynist because of what he wrote about the role of women in certain of his letters. Is that a fair criticism in your view?
No, I think it's completely wrong to think of Paul as a misogynist. That I would think he was perhaps the greatest promoter of women's ministry in the first century.
And when it comes to his theology, what do you believe are the most striking elements there? Could you elaborate for us?
The most striking element of Paul's theology is his concept of the church as the body of Christ. Now we, because of the divisiveness of the world in which we live, we tend to think of that as talking about cooperation, coordination. For Paul, it was much more profound. It was a matter of shared existence, that the arm and the leg belong to the same thing, and that is how they exist. So for Paul, we belong to one another. As he said, without love, I do not exist. And it is that relationship of love that constitutes the very existence of the body. And he calls that is the body of Christ, by which he means that the church is the physical presence of Christ in the world. If you want to know Christ, you act within the community. You don't go off on your own and make a retreat. And furthermore, for Paul, that church, the community, the body of Christ, he calls it Christ. He uses the word Christ both of the historical Jesus and of the community. And it is only when the community is truly Christ-like that it can use the first person singular. This is my body. Paul has a very varied, but very consistent and radical theology.
When you say radical, what are you thinking of there in particular?
For Paul, there can be no Eucharist if the members of the community celebrating the Eucharist do not actually love one another. This is spelled out unambiguously in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It's radical in the sense that this is a challenge to our churches, where the same people, go to the same Mass every day of the week and don't even bother to learn each other's names. For Paul, there could be no Eucharist in that type of community.
But we've talked quite a lot about Paul and his teaching, his theology. But when it comes to his life, of course, he was first and foremost a missionary, and he did a lot of travelling, he courted a lot of danger. What do you think are some of the most significant incidents in this very action-packed life that he led?
Well, he was in and out of jail on a regular basis. He was shipwrecked. And he was extremely lucky in that he survived, because no ship would divert to pick up a drowning man. It would be extremely difficult, and they would be long past him by the time they could turn around. So he must have drifted on a current that brought him to one of the many islands in the Aegean. And then he was very lucky that he hit an easy beach, not the bottom of a cliff, so that he must have been terrified every time he traveled by boat. But if it was necessary to bring the gospel, then that's what he did.
He certainly didn't flinch, did he?
Was extremely courageous. And when you think that each of his journey would be about 20,000 miles, that he must have been a very tough, fit man.
It's been pointed out that Paul's letters are full of expositions of what Christians should believe and how they should live, and not so much about the life and teachings of Jesus. Why do you believe this was so?
I think that Paul had a very detailed knowledge of the historical Jesus. Remember, he spent 2 weeks with Peter in Jerusalem shortly after his conversion, and they certainly didn't waste time talking about the weather or the illnesses of mother-in-law. And they would have talked about Jesus, and Paul refers more than 20 times to words of Jesus, and he also had a very precise knowledge of the behavior of Jesus. There were two aspects of the personality of Jesus that struck him particularly, and one was his steadfastness, his fidelity. As Paul says Our lives are yes and no. His life was an enduring yes. Now, that sort of person, single-minded, can be rather cold. But the other aspect that Paul finds very significant is that Jesus was emotional. His tenderness, his compassion, his love for people, these are factors that he mentions several times. Now, Paul did all that. He spoke about Jesus when he was with these people in their conversion visit. That's when he would have spoken about the historical Jesus. The letters all deal with particular problems, and so that he simply refers to Jesus, his teaching, his personality, as something that they already know well.
Paul did, of course, in his time have many enemies and detractors, didn't he? Was it, as we were saying earlier, perhaps because of his somewhat abrasive character?
Well, Paul had enemies in the Jewish wing of the church. You see, there were those, led by James, for example, who believed that Gentiles should become Jews, that is, accept circumcision, in order to become Christians. Paul objected violently to that. But he nonetheless accepted Jews as members of his community. And he eventually turned completely against the law. Remember, when he arrives in Jerusalem for what he feared might be his last visit, James tells him, "You tell everyone not to obey the law of Moses or to follow the customs." So that for many Jewish Christians, Paul would have been the ultimate apostate.
Finally, what do you think, if you had to single out one thing among so many, is St. Paul's most important lasting legacy today?
Paul's most last important legacy to me is his idealism. Even though he knew he never measured up to the ideal that he professed, he never watered down that ideal to make himself feel comfortable. He knew he wasn't perfect, Philippians chapter 3. But all today in our modern theology, we create a theology that makes us feel comfortable. Paul would repudiate that completely.
I was speaking there to Father Jerome Murphy O'Connor, a New Testament professor and author of several books on St. Paul.